Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey, Dude, the 90s called podcast. I am David.
Hi, David. I'm Christine. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Thanks for listening, everybody. What's going on, Christine?
Nothing. I realized that this chair that I've been sitting in, it was up too high for a long time and I was like hunched over during episodes. So it took me only about a year. And how long have we been doing this? A year plus before I figured out that the chair lowers. So I feel like my posture is better today and I'm sitting up straight. I might look a little like, I don't know if I'm, it doesn't matter. The point is I'm very proud of myself.
I was thinking, wow, Christine's posture is just phenomenal.
I know. I was like hunched
today.
And I kept trying to stretch out. Last week I kept trying to stretch out and I like kept cutting my head off in the Zoom box. So
I had the exact opposite problem. When we started, my chair was
too low.
I looked like I was a very short person.
I can't tell if I found the right height yet, but I'm going to go with it for today. How was your week? You went to visit Casey, right?
Yes, we had a dad's weekend at UT Austin. And, you know, we've been to that city together. It's just so amazing.
So fun.
They had a frat party for all the dads the first night. We went to a basketball game Saturday afternoon. And then after the basketball game, we were out lunch. And one of the other dads was like, you know, we're going to go paddleboarding down the river. And, you know, remember when we went to that Bat Bridge? Like
that
river, you know, there's people paddleboarding and kayaking, like literally right through downtown Austin.
So cool.
And it was just, yeah, it was so much fun. And that city is incredible. And the school is just the perfect place for Casey. I'm just so happy with the boys he's with. I mean, he's just really loving it.
Oh, that's so great. Will their basketball team be in the big tournament? Are you going to be into the March Madness of it all?
They will be in the tournament. You know, UT football made it to the national championship.
I followed that a little bit.
Their basketball team, I don't know how far they'll go. They had a great game the other day when we were there, but it's just so fun being there.
Oh, I was going to say basketball. We'll get on a tangent about the New York Knicks. Every time, it's like the Knicks are doing so great, and now everyone's injured. He's out, but apparently it's not serious. But still, like, they're playing on, like, with, like, their third string, and they were winning. And you know, I went to the Lakers game at Madison Square Garden with Ben. Like, I hadn't gone to a game, and the Knicks had like a 9-game winning streak. And of course the Lakers, LeBron rested for 3 games to come and kill the Knicks. So I'm the bad luck charm when it comes to the Knicks. Like,
Ben tell you that? Are you like,
No, I told me that. Oh. It has nothing to do with that it was LeBron.
It's the best Knicks team. If they're healthy, it's the best Knicks team I remember since maybe the late 90s.
Yes. If they get healthy, there's a really good chance. But anyway, all right. Enough of basketball. We have an amazing guest.
Yes.
Who I was a huge fan of in the 80s and 90s. And by the way, when I say in the 80s, she was like, she was a kid, but I was such a fan of this.
When we moved to LA, she was like
totally
a veteran of several network hit shows. Let's go talk to Stacey Keenan.
So good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
So good to see you too. Thank you for having me.
I have to start just very quickly by saying, I doubt you'll remember this, but I met you in 1990, I want to say. It was a birthday party for Kelly Martin, and it was at a California Pizza Kitchen, and there was like Elizabeth Berkley was there, and you were there, and Tanya was like, there were all of these young actors that were surrounding Kelly. I have a photo of it that I'll find you after this and send it to you. And I just remember thinking, like, because we were on this little cable show called Hey Dude, and I had met Kelly doing like the Universal thing. And then she, you know, we became friends, and I went to this party having been in LA, and I just felt like I was surrounded by the coolest girls in the world. And you were one of them.
Oh, thank you. God, of course it was at the California Pizza Kitchen, the most 90s establishment in the
history. Right?
Yes. Maybe that and Chin Chin, which every time I see that Chin Chin is still around, I kind of marvel. It is like a time capsule.
And they're both still going strong. I mean, I live in Studio City, and there's a California Pizza Kitchen right next to
I was going to say, aren't they right next to each other there?
Yeah.
So is there a wrinkle in time when you step inside? Do you kind of go whoop back to the 90s when you step inside either of those places? I think you might. You got to be careful.
Yes. They probably haven't really redesigned them either. It was all very sort of generic, white-walled kind of the architecture, right? They probably haven't changed much at all in 30 plus years.
No, not at all.
I don't know, but there was a scene. I don't know if you watched the, it wasn't a documentary. It was an actual dramatized, you know, miniseries about the O.J. Simpson trial. But there was a scene where Mr. Kardashian is with all of his kids. And there's this scene, and I'm pretty sure they're at Chin Chin in Studio City, is where I think they're supposed to be. And they're having this family dinner, and he's telling them about how, you know, and they're all discussing his role in this trial. And of course, he's best friends with OJ and this. And he tells them, you know, look, we do not do anything in this family for publicity alone. But
isn't that ironic?
Stop.
Yeah, but they're sitting in Chin Chin, so.
Love that.
Well, I got to say also, one of my first roles, and we just had Candace Cameron on.
I listened to the episode, yeah.
I think I did Full House and Step by Step, maybe back to back.
Probably. And whoa, look out, David. Yeah, you were killing it.
I was terrified on Step by Step, too, because, you know, like, I was a huge, you know, growing up, Three's Company and Dallas were two of my favorite shows. So to sit down and to read through with those two was like tremendous star power, you know, for someone who's like a newbie. And you guys were obviously so comfortable because you'd been there. But I remember being so nervous on tape night, but you guys were all super cool.
Thank you. The star power is very real. I felt the same way. I couldn't believe I was going to meet Suzanne and Patrick. I watched Three's Company for years in reruns. I was kind of blown away by Suzanne, and that kind of never really went away despite working together for 7 seasons and getting really close. And Patrick, I remember watching Dallas as a kid. I used to sneak out of bed, and in our apartment in Pennsylvania, the couch was against the wall, and then there were 2 coffee tables on either side of the couch, and then the TV was up here. So my mom would be sitting on the couch smoking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee or tea. She drank coffee and tea all day and all night long, and then wondered why she could never sleep. But anyway, so she'd be sitting there, you know, having her coffee and her cigarette, watching Dallas. And then I would just kind of sneak out. I was maybe 4, and I would sneak out and I would sit under the coffee table to her right. And either she didn't know that I was there, or she just, you know, don't ask, don't tell kind of thing. She just didn't say anything. And I would just sit under there and I would watch, just quiet as a mouse, just watch Dallas. And I remember thinking, like, okay, all these talking scenes, enough of the talking, let's get with the horses and let's go back outside and have these big epic shots. But I remember Patrick from then. So yeah, the star power is really, really real. And it's for me, it's still there.
Yeah. Christine was part of that, right? Didn't you do some
Dallas? I did the final. Yeah, that was my first job after Hey Dude. I did the final episode ever of Dallas. It was Joel Gray was in it. Yes, I auditioned. I knew the show. Same. I grew up in Pennsylvania. My parents watched Dallas. Who shot JR? I remember it all. That was, of course, like everybody was talking about that. But I auditioned and I got this job, and I got to work with Larry Hagman and Joel Gray and Ken Kershaval, like all those guys that like I had watched growing up. It was very cool.
It sounds like the two of them, Patrick and Larry Hagman, were just a barrel of monkeys together. Patrick's stories of that set are just kind of unbelievable. They're like drinking champagne and partying in the dressing room. Like, oh my God.
Yes, sort of like living the lives they were living on the show, right? But like the actor version of it.
Yeah. So did you get fabulous outfits? What was your wardrobe?
It was sort of a fantasy sequence of like what would have happened, almost like It's a Wonderful Life. That's really what the episode was. And Joel Gray was sort of the ghost that takes, was a ghost. I don't remember, but he was the guy who like takes JR through, had he made different decisions, what his life would have looked like or something like that. And I played, I think it was Ken Kershaval's daughter, and it was sort of like they were best friends, and he had this perfect family life, and so it was very like dressed up and, you know, hair band and, you know, all buttoned up. It was and I was, you know, it's like 16 or 17. I was playing like 16 or 17.
So no floor length sequin gown or anything?
Sadly, no. But Dallas and Dynasty were the ones that
our listeners. I mean, I don't know how many viewers a hit show gets now, but Who Shot JR? People had to wait an entire summer to find out. It must have had like 40 or 50 million viewers. And Larry Hagman was the greatest villain in the history of TV. And then Patrick Duffy like left the show and then wanted to come back. And they made it like it was all a dream. Right? There was some.
Yeah.
I was like, how you can just do that? He died, but he's in the shower and it was just a dream.
They just wanted to put Patrick Duffy in a shower. That's really there was a couple of shows that did that. You can't get away with that now, I don't think. But St. Elsewhere, remember St. Elsewhere? That was all sort of a dream.
Remember that show, but I don't remember that story. Remember that. It's amazing what you could get away with, sort of not giving, just sort of doing what it took to get the popular actor back. I know they do it on, or have did it on soap operas all the time. Someone would die and come back, or they would just show up as a completely different person, but playing the same character.
No explanation needed. Or like on Step by Step, where we just kind of disposed of characters and family members would just disappear. We'd never see them again. And there was no comment or no explanation. It's just grandma's gone. She just exited stage left, never to be seen again. You know, Carol's sister, gone. This, you know, child in the family, whoop, just gone. And it's just, I don't think you could do that now. Audiences are so much more sophisticated, maybe, or
That show was so cool, though, because I remember you guys, all the kids were such pros, but I remember the only stuff I remember, Patrick Duffy coming in a robe to the note session before tape night, and Suzanne Summers sitting there. I was like, you know, just how charismatic and like they had this serious star power, the two of them together, and you guys all were amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, Patrick is secretly hilarious. You know, Dallas is just not his actual natural habitat. His natural habitat is being a complete goofball and just cracking jokes and, yes, strolling around in a robe. Not now, for anyone out there, don't get us wrong, not in any kind of inappropriate way. You know, he always had something underneath the robe, of course, but he had these old school old man slippers and they just didn't fit with his whole look. They were really depressing and horrible, and they weren't even fuzzy on the inside. They were just very plain and they were brown. And so we would just converge on Patrick when he was strolling around in his layered robe look with the slippers, and me and Christine and Angela Watson would all just make fun of the slippers. And we were like, look, you can't wear those. Those are, they're uncool. They are horrible. You have to get rid of them. And he loved how much we hated them. So of course he persisted in them. And then for Christmas, he gave us all our own pair. He somehow got them in like child or, you know,
No.
He doubled
down. Florsheim slippers for all.
He did. And then he had Suzanne. Suzanne has a stepdaughter who is, she's a, you know, a designer, and she designs clothes and she's very creative. And he had her hand paint our initials on the toe, like the front of all of these awful slippers. So I still have those to this day. The nightmare.
I was going to say, that's a real keepsake. it's a piece of art now that you own.
Yes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Christine and I talk about how terrifying it is to be a guest star on a show, especially when you're just starting out. Yeah. And to see, you know, Patrick looking like he's literally walking through his own living room the night of a taping, like not a care in the world. Like it's just.
Did that make you feel better, David, or worse? Like, did it make you feel like, oh, now I'm so uncomfortable because he's so comfortable? Or yeah, like, hey, this is kind of laid back.
They were all so chill. I listen, you know, it's a process, but, you know, Stacey started at a young age and as did Candace last week, and they were pros. So anyway, you two Pennsylvania girls, let's go back. I think all our guests are from Pennsylvania recently.
We do have a lot of Pennsylvanians. Yeah,
Chris Kirkpatrick last weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
But Christine, go back to Pennsylvania with Stacey.
Yeah, where are you from?
I grew up outside of Allentown. So were you Eastern PA or Western? Like, were you more closer to Pittsburgh or Philly? That's always how I gauge it.
So outside of Philadelphia, on the main line, for anyone not familiar with the area, there's a commuter train that runs in and out of Philadelphia, and all of the towns along that commuter line are known as the main line collectively, that group of towns. So we lived in Phoenixville, which is not on the main line. It's further out. We lived in Villanova, which is, I believe, on the main line.
Sure.
We lived in Devon, Pennsylvania, home of a very famous horse show. Some of you may know. Horseback riding is super popular. I don't know if it was in Allentown, but in that area of Pennsylvania, like English equestrian riding is super popular. Like if your kids growing up, and especially girls for some reason, instead of, at least at that time, instead of, you know, soccer or softball or something, everybody rides. So there's horseback riding camp and everybody seemed to go to horseback riding camp and, you know, do horse shows. That was a major thing. And we actually lived in Devon, which is one of the biggest horse shows in the entire world. Thank you, the pride of Devon. So it was pretty amazing. Like these riders and their horses would come in from other countries. People would ship their horses from Argentina and stuff to do this horse show. It was wild. But we lived so close that we could lay in bed at night and listen to the announcements because the horse show went all day and all night. And if you haven't been, horse show, now I know some of you, David is looking dubious. Horse shows are way much more fun than you may think.
I've been to one. I was not in Pennsylvania, but in LA. And you know, I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, we brought our kids to the rodeo in Colorado many, many times. It's such a cool thing. Okay.
Well, this is very different. There's all kinds of, you know, there's the hunter category. There's all these different categories. There's father-daughter category where it's all about, you know, your horsemanship and how, you know, your relationship with the horses and with each other and how well you can synchronize and jumping. Anyway, don't get me started, but it's a cool thing. So we lived in Devon. We lived in King of Prussia.
The big mall. The big mall. The King of Prussia Mall.
Yes. King of Prussia Mall was the biggest mall in the country for a very long time.
I think I had a birthday party there. Like that was the big adventure from Allentown as we all, like five of my friends, we all got to go to King of Prussia Mall and shop a little and have lunch. Like that was a birthday party for me. So that, you know, big deal.
An incredible mall, an absolutely incredible mall. I would love to go back there. We loved Fluff and Stuff, which was a store that just sold like crap that little kids want that their parents have to buy. Yeah, right. You know, like sparkly, fuzzy, furry stickers, stuff like that. And my poor mom would be shelling out for, you know, stickers, all this stuff. Anyway, and then eventually we moved to New York. But, you know, the saying is you have a friend in Pennsylvania. And I really do feel like people from Pennsylvania are really friendly.
I agree. I think there's good people in Pennsylvania. I'm just going to say, David, you said it. We've had a lot of great guests from Pennsylvania. In this industry, I've met a lot of people. And you're right. We're a friendly folk, I think.
It's more middle America than New York, unless you're from Philly. The Eagles fans are out of their minds.
Are they? Well, yes, it's a friendly place. And I think a lot of people don't really have an image for it. They don't, but it's very beautiful, very green. Anyway, but yeah, then we moved to New York City and then moved out here to LA.
But you, first of all, it sounds like you had such a love of, did you ride when you were little? And I'm curious, like you obviously did a lot of everything because you ended up as an actor in New York working there at a very young age, but did you ever want to take the equestrian route or continue with that? Or did you continue with it as a hobby?
No, I haven't. Yeah, we had a wild ride sort of as a family. When I was little, my dad, he was an ad man, literally like Mad Men. He started an ad agency with two partners, and they kind of stepped onto the scene in Philadelphia, and they had this meteoric success. They were just huge, and they were taking accounts from huge established ad agencies that had had these huge accounts for years, and they just showed up and started snatching them, and they were just doing great. And so my parents were kind of like jet setters at that time. They were, you know, flying off to Portugal with their friends and flying off to the south of France. And my sister's older, so they would take my sister and just have an au pair to take care of her while they were there. And, you know, it was just all of this life. So I have all these fabulous photos of my mom. I don't think she wore anything but a bikini for like most of her life, because every photo she's wearing a bikini. I'm like, did you own clothes?
Were you ever dressed?
Yeah, so she'd have this bikini on, you know, very 70s with some huge hat. And then she'd be in the pool with all this jewelry on, like all the beads and all these necklaces, and all these bangles and bracelets. And, you know, of course, smoking a cigarette and posing and very tan, whatever. So this was their life. And so, you know, it was kind of fabulous. You know, we lived in Villanova. We had a beautiful home. And my sister had her own horse. And it was, you know, it was kind of great. But then my dad had a mental breakdown that he never recovered from. He hadn't ever been mentally ill ever in his life, but his mental illness kind of suddenly came to the forefront at that point, and he never recovered. So my parents split up at that point because, you know, everyone was begging him to get help, his partners and all of our friends and my mom and everyone, like, because when he was treated and medicated, he did really, really well. But he didn't think that he was ill. He just, you know, I think it's common for people with mental illness. He just didn't. And especially then, when it was so stigmatized, you know, now there's so much, I think, more acceptance around it. But he just didn't accept it. So he would never continue to take the medication. So my mom would try, you know, for years she kind of hung in there, not too many years, because we were really little at that time and things could get really out of control. So she tried to stay around, but when he wouldn't, you know, ever be treated, she finally left with us. So she went from living in this stone, you know, beautiful mansion with all this, you know, we all of this land, and, you know, we had a pool and we had a greenhouse and it was beautiful, and my sister's horse and all this stuff. So we went from that to she's moving out with two little kids, no more horses, no more equestrian riding, no more horseback riding camp, no more ballet, no more all the things, to, okay, you know, she doesn't really have a work history. She doesn't have a college degree. She has two little kids to support. My dad is super unwell, and she's just kind of on her own. We kind of went like that. So, you know, we went from Villanova to, you know, Devon, which I don't know if it's any nicer now, but, you know, we had this like teeny little apartment in Devon. And then we actually, some of my parents' friends, they were a couple, and the husband was a developer, and he got her an apartment in this massive apartment complex that he had built. He helped her get. So we had this apartment, but, you know, it was quite the transition. You know, it overlooked a cemetery. It was these big block buildings that looked like the Soviet Union. There were these big ugly rectangles, and they were kind of in this, you know, L shape. And then there was this cemetery in that, the blank space of that L shape. It might still be there. It was on DeKalb Pike. For you over there in King of Prussia, DeKalb Pike, which was this big, ugly road with those metal, you know, dividers in the middle. Anyway, so, you know, my mom definitely needed the help. Everyone needed to chip in and, you know, try to make some money to support us, because we were on welfare and getting food stamps, and it was real rough.
Oh my God. So did you start attempting to work at that time just because it was something that was natural to you? Anyway, like, were you auditioning at that point?
Yeah. So, you know, my mom put us in the King of Prussia Charm School, or sorry, the Queen of Prussia Charm School.
Oh,
a charm school.
Yes. A charm school.
Charming. There was, you know, they would teach you ridiculous stuff, you know, baton twirling and tap dancing and things like that, and walking with a book on your head. But there was they had recitals for these things. So an agent came to one of the recitals and she saw my sister and I, and she started sending us out in Philadelphia for local commercials. You know, back in those days, there used to be local department stores. You'd have kind of these little regional
departments. That's what, same with me. We had Hess's. Hess's was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I did some print ads for, you know, it was a local department store. Same, exact same. Yes.
Strawbridge and Clothier was one.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so we did commercials for them and print and stuff like that. And then
I remember the song Strawbridge and Clothier. Do you remember that? Like that was the ad for it?
No, but I'm pretty
sure it just came into my head.
Wow, I think that was one of my first jobs was a commercial for them for Easter, you know, like come on down and get your kids their Easter dresses. And we were all on this boat and I had a fabulous, you know, Easter frock on and it was great. Anyway, so then we had an agent in New York eventually and we started taking the train to New York all the time and going auditioning in New York, trying to get, you know, better stuff than just local, you know, local stuff, local Philadelphia stuff. So we went up there and it started to be so constant. I mean, there were some weeks where we could have gone to New York 5 days a week and that, you know, so you do a full day of school, then you get on a train, you're on the train for, you know, 2 hours or something like that. You get to Manhattan, you're running around, hitting these auditions and callbacks. And then eventually we just moved up to the city to try to get better opportunities. But yeah, I mean, I was a ham and I was super, you know, I like to sing and dance and act and do all that stuff. So my mom just kind of was like, okay, sure. You want to do it. And my sister was into it too. And the money is, you know, could sure help. And so there was no reason, you know, not to.
Wow. Yeah.
Did it just start to happen fairly quickly? Because I mean, I'm seeing like you did a Burger King commercial and you know, like, I feel like we all have the Burger King commercial in common as well, right? We were a little bit older, but
three Burger King commercial with Jerry O'Connell. Remember he was on?
Yeah, of course. Our Burger King. Yeah, Burger King commercial was my first commercial.
Stacey, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that about your dad. And I grew up with my mom had a mental illness. I actually made a movie about it. I wrote and directed, and you know, Barbara Hershey played my mom, and Reed Scott played me. And you know, it's I don't know. Do you think that whole situation fueled you to become a performer? Because I know a lot of talented people go through that type of home life.
I think it's part of it, maybe, is that you want, once you kind of lose that parent from your life, maybe that is why you kind of want that validation, or you want someone to say that you're funny or pretty or something. I mean, yeah, I think it could definitely contribute to that. And then also you get that thing of that kind of perfectionistic thing, just trying to be perfect, trying to achieve things, which I think can be an outgrowth of that.
But 2 hour train rides after school, both ways. I mean, that's a major commitment.
I mean, really, my mom, I got to hand it to my mom. If you can imagine doing that with two little girls, you know, and we were little, we started going up there when I was probably 5. So my sister would have been 9, and New York at that time in the '80s was completely wild. It was not like it is now.
Oh yeah.
It had been ravaged by crack cocaine. The city was just, it was dangerous. And so, you know, if she must have been, well, I know she was scared to death. And then when we moved there, oh my God, you know, cause she had to go to work and we went to school by ourselves. And I think she lost years off of her life worrying about us rattling around in the city. And we did have wild encounters. I mean, thank God nothing, we escaped every time, but so many insane, insane things happened growing up in New York in the '80s. Is its own podcast.
It was not the same city that we know right now.
And we were broke, so we couldn't live anywhere decent, you know. So my mom had a first cousin who was a dancer. He was a professional dancer and he had his own dance company. So, you know, he didn't have money, but he had this huge apartment because he lived in a terrible neighborhood at that time. I think it's very nice now. It was the way upper west side. It was Spanish Harlem. And he had this huge apartment with all these rooms. I mean, yes, there was a crack house across the street. Yes, the building was like on the borderline of being condemned, but he had room for us. So he let us move in with him. And so, you know, he's this man, single man, and now he's got this, you know, his first cousin and her little girls moving in, but he let us move in. And that was how we were able to live in the city, is by, you know, sharing with him. And that was a really, it was a very, very cool 3.5 years that we lived there before heading out to LA.
Amazing.
Wow. So you were still pretty young, even when you went to LA, you were still, you hadn't even hit your teen years yet. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. So when we came out, I was 11 and we came out for pilot season because it was always some kid in LA who got the good job. So they never went with the New York kid, it seemed.
Yeah. They didn't want to pay for relocation. They didn't want to fly you to audition, all of those things, right?
Yeah. And it seemed like everybody they wanted always seemed to be in LA somehow. So we came out, and then that pilot season, I got my two dads. And then, you know, there's that whole thing where I don't even remember the technical term for it, but how you can only go to network if you can only go to network for one thing. You can't go to network for multiple projects. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So there were three pilots.
Yeah. There was like an expression for it, though, wasn't there?
Is it right of first refusal?
Yeah, I was going to say, was it first refusal or something
it
like
might
that?
Be yes. Right of first refusal. So there were three pilots that I was set to go to network on, but we had to choose. And one of them was picked up already for 13. The other one was not picked up. And then the third one was My Two Dads, which was also not picked up. But we chose, all of us, my mom and my sister and I, we all sat down and we read all the scripts together and we discussed all together in our nightmarish apartment in North Hollywood. And we decided that the one we would choose would be My Two Dads because it was the best script. So we chose that over the other one that was already picked up because we just thought it was a better show.
What show was that? Did that end up becoming something or no?
Was it I Married Dora? It might have been I Married Dora.
Well, you made the right choice because I remember you from My Two Dads. I mean, Christine, you must have watched that show.
Oh my gosh, Paul I loved Reiser. It. I also had a huge crush on Greg Evigan because I loved BJ and the Bear too. So I was like the cute dad and the cool girl, and Paul Reiser was amazing.
And
like,
such a cool just premise, was, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Two dads raising a daughter, you know, and they weren't a gay couple.
Not knowing who the father, who was the real father, right? Yeah, that's the idea.
Yes. And people still complain about the premise. I still get, people are still mad about it because people will come up to me and say, well, you know, they could have had a blood test, or, you know, nowadays, if it was nowadays, they could have had a DNA test. And the show acknowledged that. In one of the very early episodes, the show took that on and said, yes, there could be a blood test. Even then, we could determine which of these two is the father. But the mom of Nicole wanted both of them to raise Nicole.
To raise her. Right.
So she purposely, you know, she had some kind of codicil in her will or whatever saying, do please, you know, if you're respecting my wishes, do not find out who the father is. I want the three of you to be a family because, you know, Nicole needs both of you, kind of thing. So for those of you who are still mad about that,
the fact that people are still mad at you and go to you about it, like as if at 11 or 12 years old when you were working on it, you could have had your say about. But it was addressed. And also, it's like it's a TV show, too. I mean, I think that's what makes it and a different time. You're absolutely right. But it was a special show, like very, very memorable. And you guys were all terrific on it. How was that experience when you choose that pilot? It gets picked up and then your life changes, right?
Yeah, it was very life changing because to go from, you know, commercials and print ads and voiceover, I did a lot of voiceover and singing jingles, which was really fun. And then I started to do, you know, more stuff, television and kind of better stuff, bigger stuff. But it never was a consistent job, you know, to have week after week. It was, you know, a little job here or even a bigger job here and there. And then you're back to when is the next job? You know, it's just, it's a very uncertain life in terms of, you know, financially and everything else. And all three of us are contributing. My mom's working. My sister was working. She did a ton of print. She did commercials and stuff like that. So we're all kind of chipping in. So to have a steady job was so life-changing in terms of, wow, you know, to not be worried about when the next check is coming to wow. know. I mean, it's still uncertain because you're picked up and you're picked up for 13 and then are you going to get the back nine? And then are they going to pick it up for next season? So that alone was life-changing. And then, yeah, I had never done that type of multi-camera television. So I did not, I was 11 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. And I was really heavily in the show. You know, I would be on every page of the script.
I mean, you are the girl with the two dads. You're the type, you're the lead character. My two dads. Yeah.
It's right. So I would look at these scripts and be like, oh my God, I'm in the entire, like, I have to do all of this. Like, you read it and be like, whatever this is, I have to do all of this, whether it's, you know, bursting into tears or, you know, getting furious and yelling and screaming. And I was like, oh my God, I don't really know how to do this. I don't have any acting technique. Like, how am I going to pull this off? And then on top of it, all the technical aspect, you know, hitting marks and, you know, finding the light and all of those things. I just did not know any of that. So that was overwhelming and a lot to learn. And, you know, on a pilot too, there's so much pressure because the pilot has to be perfect because it's what the network is going to use to decide whether or not to pick up the show. So that whole pilot was very intense. And then, you know, once the show was picked up, yeah, it was just a huge amount of stuff to learn.
And I, at that point, I'm trying to remember, because when was that, 89? Was that 88 or earlier?
I think it was 86 to 89.
Okay, 86 to 89. So at that point, like I think of Paul Reiser now as a pro sitcom actor, but that was probably his first sitcom, right? And Greg Evigan, yeah?
I think it might have been, yeah. I mean, Paul was a stand-up and he had already been an Alien and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, Greg had come from BJ and the Bear. So, yeah, I think it was there. So I think all of us were kind of struggling a little bit to figure it out.
Yeah. But that helps when you have two talented castmates and you're figuring it out together. You don't feel like, oh, I'm the only novice here.
They probably hit it more than I was able to, you know, as adults and stuff. And yeah, but they were, I mean, Greg is if you've ever met Greg, he is the sweetest, sweetest guy. You know, he's from back East, you know, you can hear it in his voice. I love that accent. Yes. But he's just a doll. And Paul was my idol. I wanted him to be my dad so bad. Not that I didn't want Greg. It's just that Greg already had three kids, including a brand new baby, not brand new, but a little baby under a year old at home. So I was like, he's already taken, you know. Paul was just newly wed. In fact, he got married, I think, in the first season of the show. I went to his wedding party at his house. And I was just like, well, he can adopt me. He doesn't have any kids.
Right.
He was just, yeah, he was
one of the funniest comedians and actors ever. I've always loved him.
And thinking about those guys now, like they were probably, how old were they? They were in their 30s.
They were barely really
young
to be the dads of that character. Now, it was supposed to be that, you know, that Nicole ended up being born while they were all in college. So they were supposed to be very young dads.
Right.
Very young, you know, at the time that she was born. But yeah, they were barely old enough.
Right. And you think of it, and I'm sure you did too, because they played your dads, that they were so much older, you know? And now I look at how old we all are now, and they were like 20 years younger than us all now, right?
And also at the time, there weren't a lot of families with two dads or two moms. Now, you know, half my kids' friends have, you know, same-sex parents. And it's, but back then it was a very interesting, unique situation.
Yes, completely. Completely unheard of to the point that you make a show about it.
Right.
Right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Now I have to ask you, because I am the biggest horror movie fan. And so I remember the movie Lisa, like horror thriller, right? So was that something that coming off of My Two Dads, you just got offered? Was that something that you had started auditioning for films, like, you know, not knowing it, you know, or during the summer, during your hiatus? And how did that come about? Because that was such a fun one with Cheryl Ladd. And it was just like juicy. And I just want to hear about it because I remember it so well.
Oh, thank you. I auditioned for that. So, you know, you do the show and then there's a hiatus, and the hiatus goes on for months after the season ends and then before the next season of the show begins. So I would definitely audition to try to get work during that hiatus time, all those months. So I definitely auditioned for Lisa. There was multiple auditions, and that whole process of callbacks and callbacks and callbacks. And, you know, it's such a fraught thing. You know, it's like, well, do I wear the same outfit that I wore at the last callback? Because that seemed to work. I mean, they want to see me again. Or do I wear something else? Like, let them see, you know, a kind of a different look, or maybe something else that they might like even better. And I mean, I wasn't as intense about it at that time as I was once I was an adult and auditioning for stuff. But you know, but yeah, there was lots of auditioning. So then that was shot on a hiatus, and I turned 14 while we were making the movie. So I was 13 when we started, and then my birthday is in the beginning of June. So during production, I turned 14, and that was another one where I was really excited to get the part, but then again, I'm reading the script. I'm on every page of it. I have to do all of this insane stuff. And again, I had no idea how I was going to do it, because I didn't really know how to act. You know, this whole, you know, the big climax at the end where, you know, Cheryl Ladd's character and my character, Lisa, are finally faced with this serial killer and this huge showdown with him. And of course, there's, you know, being scared to death and shaking with fear and screaming and crying and all of this violence. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? I don't know how to do this.
Did they bring on sort of an acting coach or a coach to help you? You were so young. Like, no. I would have, if I had to guess, I would have like said you had to have been 16 or something at that point. But that's having just turned 14. That's so young.
It is. And no, they didn't bring on a coach. So my mom called Howard Fine, who eventually became my acting teacher for years, but he would absolutely not work with anyone under the age of 18. So he was like, sorry, you know, come back when you're 18, but not right now. And I did go back when I was 18. But then my mom called another coach. I didn't even have a session with her or him. I don't even know. So the coach said, just tell her to pretend like you have cockroaches crawling all over you.
Oh, stop it.
Just do that. And so that was my entire guidance, which actually helped. Thank you, coach out there. That did help. Yes. I did use that and it did work. But other than that, I didn't know what I was doing.
But you were just it just came naturally. I mean, you were so good. And for you to hear this, because it, you know, we as viewers never would have known.
Right. You seem so confident. I mean, it's on Step by Step. You were like, were you like the cocky, arrogant one? I mean, you seemed so comfortable in front of the camera. Like it was just second nature to you. That's how I remember.
Yeah, let's segue into Step by Step.
Step by Step. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I was just pretending, I guess, or just faking it as best I could. Although I must say, by the time Step by Step came around, you know, I had survived my two dads, which was a very tough show. It was a tough, you know, set, very high pressure and just very, very intense. Then went on to Going Places, which was a very short-lived show. It had Ali Rudd.
Remember that one too? Yes,
you do.
Yes, I do. I was a really big. I loved sitcoms, and I remember Alan Ruck. Like, you know, these were, you know, actors that I just loved seeing over the years too that were on it. And
it says so Heather whether it was Locklear short-lived, or,
yes,
wow. Yes, Heather Locklear, who is the. It's like meeting Suzanne Summers, kind of. It's the prequel to meeting Suzanne Summers. Like, right. she's just so beautiful.
Because so had there been on Dynasty too? Like going back to Erin Spelling, like, didn't she come on as a young one who had just come on? Yes, exactly.
She was on everything.
Breathtaking, right? Like you couldn't even believe it. Yeah.
Yes. So I could not believe I was going to meet her and get to work with her, and then to find out how sweet she was. It was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then Alan Ruck, who of course, from Ferris Bueller, I knew who he was. So that was really
cool. Oh, he had already done Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Cameron and Ferris Bueller, dude, that's iconic.
Exactly.
I would have flipped out. Yeah.
But then to see everything that he's done over the years and then to watch him on Succession, I'm just like, oh my God, Alan Ruck, I love you. And I've seen him around a couple times. I saw him at Ralph's in Studio City, and he's a super nice man, and his hair is just as fabulous in person still as it is on the show. That hair is not fake. But anyway, he's just pushing his cart, and you know, I kind of made eye contact with him, and he was like, you know, like, good day, ma'am, kind of thing. And I wanted to be like, Alan, you know, but it's like, I don't want to accost this man.
Oh, he didn't recognize you?
you.
I mean, what was I, 14 when we worked together, or 15? And I just thought,
so
that's worth a hello for sure.
The last thing he needs is more people coming at him. So I was just like, oh. And then I was gearing myself up, walking around the store. I'm like, okay, if you see him at the checkout, just say something. And then, of course, I didn't see him again. But anyway, he was very, very sweet and very cool to work with. But that show was, short-lived.
And then you got My Two Dads quickly after. Step by step.
My Two Dads was first, and then Going Places, and then that show was canceled after just the single season, and then it was the same producers of Going Places as My Two Dads. So they actually offered me the part on the same producers on Going Places as Step by Step.
Who was it? Miller Boyette?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, and that's the same producers as Full House.
Yes. Right. Yes, and a million other shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Forever. So they offered me the part on Step by Step, which I could not believe. I don't think I'd ever been offered a part before, much less a part on a series. I was blown away. I still remember going into my mom's bedroom to take the call. She had a phone in there, and I think my mom, sent me over there to kind of receive this news. So I went into her room by myself and got to hear it. And I couldn't believe it. But yeah, it was different because I did, at that point I had 4 years of series television behind me. So I wasn't as scared to death as I was going into My Two Dads of just not knowing what I was doing. I did have more confidence at that point.
Gosh, that show went on for a long time. It was such a huge hit. It was 7 seasons you did?
Yeah, it was 7 seasons. So we got to, we got to do so much stuff. It's a dream to have a show go on that long and to let the characters change and grow up and do ridiculous things, do dance numbers for no reason, have musical numbers just because you feel like it. At a certain point, the writers kind of get that confidence of, we want to have a whole fantasy sequence. We can do that. We're a 5th season show.
Right. You have an audience that already loves you no matter what. So bring it, right? Just let's play.
Yeah, it was magical. Now, David, do you remember who you played?
I don't know. I honestly can't remember, but I just, which lot was that on? Was that Warner Brothers or?
We moved several times. So when we first did the pilot, we were at Culver Studios.
Oh, yes.
Which is very sweet, cute little mini studio over there. But then eventually we moved onto the Warner Brothers lot, and that's where we stayed for most of the time.
Right. I just remember it felt sort of magical to be on a show that was doing so well with, this sort of, Patrick and Suzanne, and I don't remember who I played. Maybe it was your boyfriend, I would imagine, or something like that.
Maybe, but you are someone who you got a lot of airtime that I recall when I was a kid, because my best friend was Devin Odessa, who was on My So-Called Life. She played Sharon, but she had worked with you and she had the biggest crush on you for so long. And I felt like she talked about you for years. Just the David Lasher conversation just kind of never ended, it seemed. So
I remember what I worked on her. I think it was a pilot for NBC, right? Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure Devin was at that Kelly Martin birthday party.
Probably. Too.
I think so. Oh, I'm going to send you that picture. Yeah, I have to send you that picture.
I will tell her, and I cleared talking about this with her before bringing it up. I was like, okay, I know this is from 30 years ago, but is it okay that I say that you had a crush on David?
Oh, yeah. Tell her I send my love. And our producer, Lorraine, just said I played Greg Patterson. I don't know.
Ringing any bells?
David. She did like 180 episodes.
No, I mean for you. I would never be able to know by character name, I don't think,
Does Step by Step live somewhere? It must be on one of the streamers, right?
Yes, it's on Max. It was in 1992. Thank you, Lorraine. And the episode is called Country Club. So that's early. That's very early in the show. Wait a minute.
It was the Culver Studio, I'm sure.
I think I might know what episode this is.
Country Club.
Yes, because Christine Lakin and I are doing a rewatch podcast of Step by Step. It's called
Right.
Heenan and Lakin give you Deja Vu. It just launched.
So cool.
That's so great.
I have never watched the show. Never. I never watched it when it was on. There were some things that I had seen. I had seen the title sequence. I had watched that for whatever reason.
You didn't watch the episodes after when they aired?
Wow. Never. And then there were certain episodes that it was like my mom was putting me in front of the TV with little toothpicks in my eyes to make me watch. But, you know, if you had to do a reel, you know, which in the industry you have an acting reel that shows things that you've done, like to show off your ability or whatever, she would make me watch certain, which I didn't want to.
But scenes.
Certain scenes that she would make me watch to say, look, we have to do a new reel, you know, choose what you want or whatever. So there were clips, but I never, you know, so I've seen certain parts of certain shows, but I never watched the show. But anyway, we are watching it now. Keenan and Lincoln Give You Deja Vu is the name of the pod. It's on Spotify and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Awesome.
Thank you. But Lakin and I, we watched the whole first season to recap it. And Country Club, that episode is... it takes place at a country club, and there's this prospect that maybe the family is going to join this country club. So they're hanging out at the country club for the day and meeting all the fancy people. And you, I get it now. You are the one. You're this, instead of playing the rich kid that Dana meets at the country club, who's a jerk and kind of, you know, treats her bad, you're this really sweet kid that Dana meets at the country club, and they have this little romance, and you played a really good guy, really, really likable guy. But then ultimately at the end of the episode, the family decides, you know what? We're just not these fancy people. And this whole country club life is not for us. But I'm pretty sure they had you in a khaki pant and a collared shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that probably kicked off a whole new wave of Devin, you know, Odessa ruminations about how cute and nice.
At least I was the nice country club guy, not one of, you know, the James Spader.
You should watch it. I recommend it.
We have to find
it. All the episodes. Some of the episodes are duds, but that was a good one.
You know, Christine had this show called Hollywood Darlings.
Yeah.
Do you remember she did that? And they brought me on. I did a couple episodes just playing myself, and we would just like riff on stuff. It was this cool, like, improv type show. But she's such a sweetheart.
Yes, very talented.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So you went to law school.
Yes,
you graduated.
You have an entire
UCLA. You have a whole another career as a lawyer.
Yeah. So after while the show was on, actually, I started to go to UCLA right at the very end of Step by Step. I had a boyfriend at that time. I didn't think I was going to go to college. I applied to Yale. That was the only place I wanted to go, and I didn't get in. And then I was like, well, if I can't go to Yale, I'm not going. So I had this boyfriend that was much older than I was at that time. And he was a professor, actually. And he was like, no, you must go to college. No, seriously. And I actually, because he, he just said, you will love it. You will absolutely love it. Come on now. So he convinced me to apply to UCLA. I got into UCLA and I went, and I did absolutely love it. And for a time I was trying to do both, trying to go to college and also do the show, but I just couldn't. When I was trying to do both, I was more focused on school than I was on the show. And I remember, I remember having an episode that was supposed to be a big Dane episode, and they had all of this big, broad stuff for me to do and all this physical comedy. And I felt like I kind of tanked the episode. I felt really bad. I felt like I really let the writers down, that they gave me this big episode and I just didn't give it back to them, So I just,
because okay. You were just sort of like, your head was in another place. And
yes, I was all about my grades and my GPA and this paper. And that was somehow more important than this TV show that millions of people were going to see. But I've always been like that with school. So I took a leave of absence for a little bit, and then the Step by Step got canceled. So then I was able to just go back to school, and it was just such a cool time, because I could just enjoy it. I wasn't worried about working per se. I just got to, roam around the beautiful UCLA campus with the jacaranda trees, the purple, blossoms raining down. And it was just kind of a magical time. And I just majored in whatever I wanted, not because it was practical or anything, just because it was fun.
Oh my gosh, you deserved that time.
Yeah,
you've been working since you're 11 years old. You deserve that time, and I love that you followed your heart to school and into a new career. I think it's amazing.
It was great. I loved it. So I majored in art history. I did a French minor, and it was great. And then years later, I decided, because after Step by Step, I just wasn't getting good jobs anymore. I just didn't. First of all, it's hard to top a job like that. It was so fun, and just that group of people. It really was kind of this magical moment, and then the spell breaks, and then
you're trying to chase it, and it's like, is it worth it? Right.
Maya Bialik was on here, and she did the same thing. She went to UCLA after Blossom and just called it quits. She became a PhD neuroscientist.
Oh, whatever. Just a neuroscientist.
well, you're a practicing attorney. It's amazing. But then she started getting back into it, and she, did the Big Bang Theory, which one of the biggest shows ever.
So I wasn't happy with the work I was getting. So I just said, all right, that's it. So decided to go to law school and actually really enjoyed law school. But I went to law school to be a DA, to be a prosecutor, which is what I am now. So I graduated in 2013, passed the bar in 2013. And then I've been a deputy district attorney in another county and now in Los Angeles County ever since then. So it's a whole different life.
So amazing. Really, really
do you feel that you're, and I'm, this is like so the obvious question, but I mean, do you feel like having the skill set as an actor helps you as an attorney? I served jury duty last year, so I really got to see, I mean, it ended up being, I think, 5 or 6 days. I got picked. I couldn't believe it. It was a criminal case in Manhattan, and it was a pretty cut and dry. The guy definitely did it. They had video footage of him, but he obviously, you know, wanted it to go to trial. It was so interesting seeing, you know, lawyers on TV versus the lawyers in person. But there, I noticed that the prosecuting attorney, she was very theatrical in her presentation for this very small case. And I thought it was like, I just found it really interesting. So have you found that skill set has helped you in sort of, right?
I think
a good actor, my dear.
Well, thank you. I think being nervous, but having to get up and do it anyway is just a great skill to have for anything, but particularly for this, where you have to stand up by yourself and just talk to a group of people that are a captive audience and are sitting there staring at you from the jury box. So that has definitely helped. And just a lot of the physical stuff, you know, you see, because I love to watch other lawyers in trial, you know, you steal people's good ideas and make them your own and, try to see what they're doing that doesn't
just
work.
Just like actors do.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, you'll see some attorneys and they're standing there talking to the jury and they're really stiff and they just, you know, a lot of them have like weird vocal things where, you know, they kind of get a fake voice going, which I did have. When I first went to law school, I was talking like a lawyer. This is what a lawyer sounds like. Instead of just being, you know, you have to just be yourself.
Real. You have to be real. You want to be real and convince them, right?
Did anyone ever recognize you and say, why is the girl from Step by Step making a case against me? What is going on here?
That has happened a couple of times. Yes, it absolutely has. I have a case. My last trial was a murder trial, and there was a conviction in that case. And I'm half expecting an issue with a juror who recognized me after the...
Oh, wow.
After the trial was over, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but that has definitely come up. But just using your body, using your whole voice. Just giving the jury your real self, because you're asking them to believe you, to trust that you're doing the right thing. And to use the whole courtroom, you know, when people are standing there behind a podium and they're not moving, you know, I sit there as an actor and go, why? Use the whole walk around.
Use your space. Use your space. Take up the stage.
Walk all the way to the back of the courtroom. Use the entire place. It's all just kind of a big theater. So why would you, you know, hem yourself in like that? So it really, it does help.
It was great training.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great training for anything. If you're an actor, you just get, like you said, being comfortable in your own skin, getting up in front of, in public speaking. I mean, that you can use that in any profession.
Yeah. And having to face uncomfortable moments, really having to walk through the fear, you know, my son is in high school and he has so much like that high school teeny angst stuff. And, you know, and I keep saying like, you know, that's doesn't really go away as you become an adult. Like it still exists, like being nervous to go to something or an event or something, or not knowing who's going to be there. But what gets easier is with practice and with doing it, then you realize you can do it. You can just walk in the room. Most people don't care. It's all you. It's what you're projecting it's going to be. Everyone's doing their own thing, but it doesn't go away. It's just how you get through it changes, right?
It never, ever goes away. I can still sit there at counsel table and there's this kind of grueling time where the judge is reading jury instructions to the jurors. And you know, you have to get up and speak, you know, do your closing argument. And I have been sitting there with literally my teeth chattering, my knees knocking under the table and just going, okay, you know, it's that acting experience. I call it the burn off. You know, it's like this, just don't fight this. Let it go. Let your teeth chatter. Let your knees knock. It can't last for very long because your body doesn't have enough energy to keep doing that for very long. Right. So let it run, let it burn off. And then you've done this a million times before. You've been scared and you've been able to get up and do it. So just ride this ride, you know, it is a good discipline because you're right. It never goes away.
Yeah. Wait, are we seeing you at 90s Con?
Yes.
Next weekend, I saw you going. This is our first time doing it. I'm so excited to see you and all these old friends.
I've never been, but I mean, I've heard wild stories. It sounds
same. We're saying the same thing. We're hearing all of these crazy stories. I'm so excited you're going to be there and the cast. It's so much fun. I hope we can all find each other and, you know, take a bunch of pictures and.
I hope so too. It's the biggest reunion of the Step by Step cast to date, because Brandon Call will be there, who played JT, Chris Castile, who played Mark, Jason Marsden, who played Dana's.
Oh, I love Jason. Yeah.
And Sacha Mitchell and Sasha Mitchell and Patrick Duffy. And there's never been an Angela Watson who played Karen. There's never been so many cast members all together. It's
and
just
Patrick will be in a robe with slippers, right?
With his floor shines. Are you guys all going to bring your floor shines?
We should all wear those.
Horrible floor chimes. We should. It's just unfortunate that we'll be missing Suzanne, but but it will be really good to see all of them. But can I tell you a quick Ben Stiller story before we go?
Yes, always. Ben is our biggest fan on this podcast, so he'll love this.
So, and I don't know if he'll remember this. This is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you. So, I was in acting class, Howard Fine's acting class, with Deborah Gibson. Formerly known as Debbie Gibson, you know, huge pop star.
Of course.
Yes. And as an adult, she prefers to be called Deborah Gibson. So it's Deborah. And we were doing scenes. We did scene work together in Howard Fine's class. So as part of that, you know, we would get together and, you know, maybe discuss the scene or sit and read the scene. So we went to the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf in Hollywood, West Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. And I believe I was doing a play at that time. I'm trying to give myself the benefit of the doubt as to why I did this, but I had pin curls in my hair. Okay. They were like little coils, like wrapped up into like little curls like this. And then each one was pinned down with like a big silver clip. So there are these little coils.
I can picture it. Exactly. Yeah.
And I had them all over my head. And I was like, look, I'm doing this play tonight. I got to do my hair. Too bad. Like, I'm going out to Coffee Bean looking like this. So I took a scarf. I have one of my grandmother's old, you know, vintage silk scarves, and I tied it over my head like a kerchief, but they were still kind of peeking out. And it was a goofy look, but whatever. So Deborah and I are there and we're talking about the scene. And then Ben Stiller walks in, and Deborah's very like, oh, she's like, oh, Ben Stiller, I'm going to meet him. And I'm like, oh God, like I would definitely be too intimidated to go and meet somebody like that. But at any point, in any case, he walks by the table and Deborah's like, Ben, you know, and she introduces herself and she starts talking to him and, you know, I meet him and everything. And he is looking at these pin curls and he is just staring at them. And he is like, he is chuckling under his breath.
Dying to make a joke.
And he is just staring and just kind of chuckling. And I'm like, oh my God.
No.
He has just written an entire 5-minute set about who goes out of their house looking like this. And I can just see there's so many things that he could say that he wants to say. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to get dunked on by Ben Stiller at the Coffee Bean. But he didn't do it. He didn't say anything. But I'm
pretty sure he spared you.
Right. A really solid 5 minutes just roasting me for wearing those pin curls. But
yeah, he was probably writing an entire sketch in his head while he was talking to you.
It's funny. He must have spent a lot of time at that Coffee Bean, because before I knew him, a friend of mine that I was doing a TV show with in the mid 90s, Maren Dungy, who we've had on this podcast, she and I were at that same Coffee Bean when Ben Stiller walked in, and we both were like, oh my God, it's Ben Stiller. It's Ben Stiller. Like we didn't have the guts like Deborah Gibson to say hi or to do anything. We just clocked him and thought it was cool. And when I tell my kids that story, they're like blown away by that. They're like, I don't even understand that. It's like, it was Dad who walked in and you like didn't say anything. I was like, yeah, but it was before I met him. It was like, it's, yeah, he was a famous person. I just didn't know him at the time, but it's like blows their mind. They're like, that to have those stories of like crossing paths with him before he was a part of my life. But he's going to listen to this and I'll be very curious to hear what he has to say about it. Cause I feel like it seems right in his character to not say something. Like, I don't think he would have burned you at all. I really don't. He would, I don't think he would have at all. But he probably, there was an inner monologue going on for sure.
Yeah. It would be really fun to hear some of those jokes or some of the dunks that he came up with. It would be really fun to hear those now. But yeah, he must have been kind of vibing at that Coffee Bean all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
You could have snapped right back, being like, I'm doing a play tonight. What are you doing?
I would have been dead. Dead people cannot, you know, come up with comebacks. I would have just, I would have been gone. R.I.P. on that point.
Well, we're gonna hang next weekend. I'm so excited to see you.
Cannot wait to see you.
Looking forward to seeing you both. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This was really cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacey.
For your time. Okay.
Bye.
Wow, she seems like she's doing really great.
So cool. I mean, just such a cool person. And I'm telling you that story of like being with all these girls that were really working actors at the time. And we just had our little Hey Dude show that we didn't know if anyone was really watching it or not.
Right, I felt like
an imposter. Yes. I sort of felt like the imposter of the group of like all these girls know each other and, you know, they're in these big shows and I've watched them all too. Like they were my sort of peers, but like one step removed. And I'm telling you this picture, I'll show it to you well, I'll send it to you. It's just funny. I sent it to Elizabeth Berkley after she was on.
She was there too. On the Hey Dude 90s call.
I don't think I would need to get permission from people.
I posted that scene of Candace and I. Which
anyway, that was a great episode. And we're going to see them all there at 90s con, next weekend.
Yeah. And I just got to say, she was such a talented actress. Like I was shocked to hear that she was, you know, timid and nervous about it because she always played these very confident characters.
Yeah, she always played like cool girl. Yeah, she was always really cool.
And then now that she's giving closing arguments on murder trials, I mean,
no, that's
unreal.
Very impressive.
Yes.
When someone makes a career turn like that but like we said, it's like different, but not, you know, it's like she still experiences a lot of the same feelings and it's performative in a way. And
she utilizes the skills that she developed, right, as an actress in Trials.
Yeah, that was really great talking to her.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we have a good one next week. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.